Hello everyone, it's Coco here, and I have a special guest with me, my old teammate, Lamina Cooper. So the podcast I want to talk about, the topic, it's something that relates to what's happening right now in America. It has to deal with, you know, a racial issue, which is black and white, but the real topic is how black and white athletes view sports differently, talking more about the black athletes just because I am one. All right. Okay, so like I said in the beginning of the podcast, more about black athletes and how they view sports differently compared to white athletes. So in the first article that I was reading by Billy Hawkins, it talks about how high school dropout rate is increasing for the black male athletes, or black males, period, because it's associated with being a nerd. Mm-hmm. So obviously it's a perception. And they didn't think it pertained to them because it was no blacks living the American dream. So we didn't really, as black athletes, I can't really speak on the males. We had to view sports in a different way because we didn't think school was going to get us to where we needed to be. So I don't know about you. Since I'm an athlete, a female athlete, I always had to make sure my school grades were fine because we couldn't go out there to make millions of money like professionals. Or male professionals. So growing up, I guess what I'm asking, how did you view sports?
So growing up, my whole family plays sports. So it runs in the family. And so I started playing sports when I was 5 years old. And at first I seen it just as fun. Like, this is just what I love to do. Escape from everything. And then as I got older, I seen it as my ticket to a scholarship to get a free education in college. And I think that the nerd thing is true because, like, I was really good at school and people see me as a nerd. Like, I didn't really have that many friends. I was seen as lame and stuff like that, but I didn't really care. So I was good at both.
Right. Right. And there's another article that says, it talks about, black athletes when it comes to females and males, by Richard Whitmire. It says black males are 50% less likely to get their college or high school degree compared to the black females. And like I said, since we don't really have a male on this call, we can't really talk about their side of things. but he also talks about how academics aren't seen as crucial growing up because sports are, sports are the way out in our case with the success, and we get to see people that look like us succeed in sports instead of like school. So of course we're gonna pick school or pick sports over school. Let's see, in college, how was your experience in college? Like, was it, you know, typical or comparable
to your white teammates? No, I think mine was different because I think they affected it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, can you repeat that? You kind of went out.
Oh, sorry. I said I didn't hear you now. More of us than my. Because I feel like we were expected to play better and perform better in games and workouts than my white counterparts. A lot of them didn't play as much. So I feel like personally they were there just to build our GPA, to stat our GPA, pat our GPA requirement so that we would be able to play. And then the black athletes were more to win the basketball games.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Yeah, that's how my experience went. They were more tough on us. Even if we got injured, they expected us
To play through it.
And then when someone, you know,
I remember one game in particular, I was dehydrated and I kept catching cramps in the game. And so Coach V got mad that she had to keep pulling me out. So finally they took me to the doctor's office, whatever, and they pumped me with
IV.
What did they pump me with? Yeah, IV. Yeah, two IVs and stuff like that. And they had expected me to play. And then after that, Coach V yelled at me about being dehydrated and stuff like that. And I had to drink this nasty Gatorade mix before every game after that.
See, and was it hard, like, for you? Because I know it was hard for me. Like, we'll come home and, you know, our family isn't in the best position. And then we'll go to school and we getting all this free stuff. So it was hard to balance all that stuff out when we see the struggle and like we can't really help because we can't touch none of that money in college.
Right. So the first time I ever had like calamari and oysters and squid and
going out of the country,
all that stuff was through filet mignon, all that. That was the first time I ever experienced that was through basketball, and then going back home and like you can't do all those things and go all those places and stuff like that. It sucks.
So like, how was sports? Was sports your escape?
Yeah, it definitely was. It was to an extent. So it was at first, like originally, like when I was younger. Then as I got older, it was. The older I got, the more responsibilities there was. And then when I got to college, it wasn't anymore first of all, I fell in love with basketball a few times throughout my whole career from 5 to 22, 23. And so when I got to college, it was more of a job than anything. And I actually suffered a mental illness. And so when I was diagnosed with my mental illness, it actually got worse. Like basketball actually didn't help. It made it worse. Right. And, you know what I mean?
I agree. Yeah. Yeah, when I got to college, you know, it's a lot of athletes, black athletes that experience, you know, depression and all that stuff, mental stuff. And then it's hard to even talk about it because we'll come home and our parents don't really understand because they're not living their life with us. Our coaches don't really understand because they're not black. And our teammates, I mean, the only people that we really have to talk to is our teammates that are black because they may or may not get it. And then they'll probably give us like a psychologist, whatever you want to call it, but they're white, so they're not going to understand either. So I think athletes struggle with that too when trying to figure out what's going on with them and during college because it's way different. Like it's a business at that point, and like they have us white people that don't even understand and probably even can make it worse.
Right. So I had a psychiatrist when I got to Purdue, from the moment I got to Purdue till I left. And the problem was that I did not like her. She didn't know nothing about me. She didn't understand me. So I would have a check-in once a month and she just asked me, how you doing? Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. What's going on? I'm like, I'm fine. I'm going through all this stuff, not handling my mental illness right, not handling my sports and my responsibilities right. But she think I'm okay. And it took until like I had a breakdown and I got a new psychiatrist to finally get the truth out of me.
Yeah, see? And like, okay, so I had to figure out who is this article is by, but the person who wrote the article just talks about how like poor living conditions in America, black athletes turn to sports to get, you know, to get their family out of the ghetto or hood, whatever you want to call it. So that's our only way to get our family out is if we play sports. And then, you know, it's a lot of people out there that talks about how black athletes are stupid for leaving college so early, but they don't know why, you know, the real reason.
Right.
And like, you know,
I feel like it's either athletes or musicians or dancers that get out of the hood that's how blacks get out of the hood. And I feel like they leave college early because they have to provide for their family. Like, a lot of them, like you said, are from one-parent household, or they got brothers and sisters to take care of. And you know what I mean? So, like, they're thinking about that, not thinking about getting their education. Right. And you know what I mean? So, and, like, with LeBron, for example, he couldn't go to college. He didn't have the opportunity. So you have situations like that. And then now you have the new rule where you can go straight from high school to the G League for a year and then go to the NBA. So people are taking that route as well.
Yeah. So how do you feel about, like, it's an article by Sunny Cali that talks about how news reporters or people outside of our race talks about how us as Black athletes aren't able to express our voice because, you know, in our platform, because it's usually like shut up and just dribble or shut up and play your sport. And you know, like, if a white athlete wanted to speak out, they're able to speak out. So I know that frustrates a lot of us. Mm-hmm.
So that just came up recently with Laura Ingraham, where she was interviewing LeBron James, and LeBron James was speaking out about political issues and his grievances with Black Lives Matter and things like that. And she basically said, she literally said, shut up and dribble. And then she interviewed Drew Brees. Drew Brees said that you should always stand for the flag. I have family in the military that fight, risk their lives for you in this country, and it's so disrespectful for you to kneel and stuff like that. And she was like, he has a right to his opinion and stuff like that. So to agree with that, like, I feel like Black athletes should have the right to provide their voice during their platform. Mm-hmm. That's what it's there for.
I agree. And then, like, have you noticed that usually when we get to college, they try to put us in, like, the easiest degree?
Yep. Because I remember I wanted to be a pharmacist, and I still do want to be a pharmacist, and they kept trying to get me to change my mind. They kept pushing it off and stuff like that, and now it's to the point where I have to do more schooling because they wouldn't just put me in the pharmacy in the first place. Because they were like, oh, well, in your last year as a pharmacist, you have to do all these credit hours, and we don't have time to do basketball in your credit hours. And I'm like, that's after I finish school. And then they were like, I meant basketball. And they were like, oh, okay, let's get you into this. No, y'all should have been got me into this when I first asked y'all.
Yeah, because I know, like, you know, we grew up on sports. We not really focused on school like that. So, like, they think that putting us in the easiest classes will help us with our GPA situation, so we're eligible to play still. But at the end of the day, that's only hurting us, because that's not what we want to do. That's what you want us to do. Like, okay, sports isn't going to be there all the time. But I feel like this fits more for people, like, for guys. And, you know, I don't really know their side of the story, but I know, like, a lot of friends that play football and basketball, they're in, like, communications or advertisement, easier type of degrees, because it fits their path of what they want to do. But also, it hinders them because, well, sports isn't forever. Like, anything can happen.
Yeah, you can get hurt at any time. You could just stop playing. You could, like, not get picked up, like, anything.
Yeah, and, like, you know, and then it's the white athletes. They're able to do, like, harder classes, like kinesiology, for example, or, you know, I don't even know, just harder classes, biology, whatever they want to go into, nursing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, why can't we do that? Because you don't trust us or something? Like, what is it? You don't want to put in extra work to get us tutors or stop the basketball. I don't think coaches take the student side serious when it comes to Black athletes. I feel like they see us as more as dollar signs than individuals.
Right.
But
I agree.
But yeah, that was pretty much all I wrote down for. I think we got it all written down. And
you said sports are the only thing Black athletes can will dominate, and easy for Black kids to look up to professionals in basketball and football. More fuel to be successful in that sport, spending hours on their craft. Yeah. I agree with that. Because I know, like, I spent all this time on basketball, and my dad was a coach, so I could train whenever I wanted for free, you know? And then I had coaches on top of that that were willing to stay after and train me, too. So, yeah, I spent a lot of time
more craft on the sport than, like, outside of – yeah, of course. Like, did you – and I also know a lot of, like, athletes, and this is predominantly, like, the male side, that their parents see them as a dollar sign, too. So they putting all this money. Yeah. They putting all this money definitely. Into like going to big trainers and going to the biggest AAU team, and like we're not seen as individuals at that. Well, I won't say we, but like some black athletes aren't seen as individuals. They're just seen as black athletes, and I think that's another struggle that people don't really see is outside. Once we're done with sports, we don't know who we are because this whole time, everybody, including our parents, seen us as a dollar sign instead of like an individual.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think my parents are super supportive though. They were just like, we'll love you regardless of what you do. But whatever you want to do, you need to be committed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Put in the work. And if you want us to support you, like as far as money wise, like we're not just going to keep supporting you if you want to keep changing like your hobbies every 5 minutes.
Yeah. I think your parents were like that too. You know, I had some relatives that I felt like only seen me for my sport at first, and it hindered our relationship. I feel like, but
definitely.
You know, like stuff happens. You know, that's how we really keep it moving. Stuff happens. Whatever, next thing.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. Like, even like a lot of my relatives were introduced to me, like, this is my niece that played for Purdue. Like, I don't play for them anymore. Quit introducing me like that. Like, I'm not there for a reason.
Or, like, they'll be like, do you play basketball or something about basketball sports, period? And I'll just be like, no, I'm retired. Like, I'm not even that type. I'm not even basketball anymore. I'm definitely just Coco. I'm an individual at this point. Like, don't.
Right. That's what my favorite teacher was just telling me. He was like, you need to find yourself. Like, you need to figure out what you want to do besides basketball, because that period of your life is over. You need to define, like, who you are besides Lamina playing basketball. You're not Lamina basketball anymore. You're Lamina Cooper. Like, figure it out.
I know a lot of athletes struggle with that. A lot. But that was our time. Yeah. We were supposed to go 10 minutes. But that was great. You hear me? So again, to reiterate everything that was said, it gives background reasoning as to why black athletes may view sports in a different way compared to athletes from different ethnicities. You know, the social issues that black athletes go through may be different from their counterparts, and it's a lot of things that goes along with all the social issues, everything that was discussed in this video or episode. And you know, some black athletes don't go through that stuff. It sometimes depends on the sport. But for athletes that deal with more of their race, for example, football and basketball, I've seen it to be similar in a lot of ways. And to help that cause, I would really challenge the athletic department, coaches, teammates, to get a better understanding as to why some people play the sports that they do and why they take it serious. And, you know, talk to your teammates to see if they're fine, because you know we don't really have that many people to talk to, especially playing for a Power 5 school, and all you see are people that don't look like you. So I really challenge everyone that isn't African American or black to get a better understanding of how we are outside of our sports as well. Thank you for listening.